Now will you notice his method? It always was his method, and it was a good one. He answered and said of them, "What did Moses command you?" He always countered with a question. And they said, "Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away." And he knew they would have to say that. Now, back in Deuteronomy 24, 1 and 2, that was the Mosaic law. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, give it in her hand, and send her out of his house, and when she's departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Now Moses permitted divorce here, as you can see, and it would seem on the flimsiest sort of an excuse. Now actually, it was not Moses' intention, nor was it God's intention, that for just some little picayunish excuse that a man or a woman could get a divorce. Why, actually, in time, they began to interpret this so that if the wife burnt the biscuits, that would be an excuse. Now, our Lord goes back to that which is fundamental, and this is important to see. You're going to see he turns it from a discussion of divorce to marriage. And today, that is the area in which I think that we ought to talk more than divorce. I have so many questions. People say, well, what about this? Is this a reason for a divorce? Well, I have very few people that ever come and say, well, what is the reason for marriage? When they get ready to get married, they never talk to the preacher. They come and tell him they want to get married. They're not interested in finding out whether he'd approve it or not. The question is, will he marry them? That's all they're concerned about. Now, the important thing here is to see that he's going to discuss marriage with them. And notice how our Lord handles it. He gives the reason for the permission of divorce. It was because of sin that God granted divorce under any circumstance. For the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain but one flesh. Now I've read from verse 6 down through verse 8. Now he goes on and says, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Now what he's saying here is that he takes them back to God's ideal at the creation before sin even entered the world. And divorce was not in his plan and program at that time. He had something better for man. It may likewise, I think, be said that murder was not in his plan either. But murderers have been forgiven, and divorce is a sin. But divorced people can be forgiven, and divorced people can be remarried, friends, under, I think, certain circumstances. That is, from a scriptural viewpoint. I don't know why we forgive a murderer, but we don't always forgive a divorced person. We feel like they've almost committed the unpardonable sin. Now, people who are saved after securing a divorce ought not to bear the stigma anymore than any other sinner who's been saved. And that would mean you and me. We are sinners, and we've been saved. And that just happens to be their sin. Now, what he's saying here in this section is marriage is a stronger tie than that of parent and a child. A child may be disowned, and marriage may be broken by unfaithfulness. Now, this discourse, you see, relates more to marriage than it does to divorce. Jesus is showing here that marriage is something that God makes. God joins a couple together. This was the original intention of the Creator, and any violation of this is sin, but it's not the unpardonable sin, I can assure you. And I'd like to put it like this. You hear so much today about certain percentage. Right here in Southern California, we're told that way over 50%, and I've heard it as high as 80% of those that get married, they're divorced, or the divorces are in that ratio to marriages. Now, the question is not this. that it's wrong to get a divorce. The question is, it's wrong to get married. It looks like to me we're working on this thing from the wrong angle. It's like locking the stable after the horse is gone. And there are people getting married that ought not to get married. That is the problem. And the sin is in getting married. The sin is not in getting the divorce for a great many of them. So it ought to make you think twice, my friend, before you get married. Because it's something that God wants to arrange for you if you'll let Him. And that, of course, is for the Christian.